Who's ready for a back-to-back in the Stanley Cup Final? It's the Friday edition of Hockey Central here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga, joined alongside Brian Burke and Justin Bourne. Many thanks to Matt Marchese, Lance Kennedy, and Dylan Brown for their hard work behind the scenes. First and foremost, fresh off winning his first career Vezina Trophy, Jets netminder Connor Hellebuyck will drop by in 40 from now. The 27-year-old led all goalies in saves, appearances, shots faced, and shutouts this past season. Enough said on that front. Meantime, we inch closer to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, fellas. And Berkey, I know you love this. The first back-to-back since 2009 in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah. Hey, Nick. I'm not crazy about it from a competitive standpoint, but I get it. It's probably our fault. It's probably the broadcast partners probably pushed for this, but I know the players want to get out of the bubble as quickly as possible, so they agreed to this. I had a lot of playoff teams, and we valued that day off in between. So as a hockey guy, I don't like it, but I get it.
Justin, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I've been on record that I'm not a fan either. Just, you know, these guys are trying to rebuild themselves between games at this point, and we saw the difference that rest makes at the start of the last two rounds of playoffs. You know, we saw the Islanders come in and face a rested Tampa and get rolled. We saw Dallas, be rested and roll over Tampa in game one. Every day makes a big difference at this point, so I'm not sure anybody wins by rolling these guys out back-to-back games. The players themselves, the fans, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to not just have one more day there, you know?
Yeah, you're right. And in mere moments, Craig Simpson of Hockey Night in Canada will drop by getting set for the call of tonight's game. Again, game four, then game five tomorrow. It's Nick Alberga, Brian Burke, and Justin Bourne here on Hockey Central. So, Berkey, we look ahead to game four tonight. What are you looking for? What are you expecting from the Dallas Stars here tonight?
Well, I'd like to know if Blake Komal is going to be available because I think he's a really important player for them. They've got to get rid of the stupid penalties. They've got to be more disciplined. But I like the way they were playing in game three. They were taking the game to Tampa right before both of the Radulov penalties, right late in the second period and early in the third. And it just flattened them. It was like someone popped a balloon.
Yeah, that's a great point. The early game there was pretty lopsided, particularly in terms of shots, right? Like, we hadn't seen Dallas come out and take it to Tampa quite like that. The penalties were a big thing. I just feel like if you're the Dallas Stars, you have to look at how it's gone for you over the past stretch here. They have eight goals at 5-on-5 over the past 12 games. Like, they're just not scoring any goals at all at 5-on-5. So they've got a lot of work to do there. They need to open it up and just find a way to score. They got to look to those top guys, Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benda, to create some offense for them.
Yeah, the power play battle is always intriguing. I think any series you look at, Tampa 2-for-11, Dallas 1-for-11, and again, we'll talk about Tyler Seguin as we go forward here. 2 goals in 23 bubble games, guys, 2-in-27. He has 9 goals since January 1st, his last 12 games, 1 assist. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I should put it out there as well that it's been tracking the last couple of minutes, but it is confirmed by our Chris Johnson now that Bobby Ryan has been placed on unconditional waivers for the purpose of termination of his contract. He's getting bought out. Berkey, your initial response to that?
I think you're going to see a lot of this. It's too bad because he's a great kid, and I know people will say big deal. It's $15 million. He'll get 10 of that over the next 4 years. And, you know, they'll say, what a nice way to leave. But this kid did a lot to get back, battled some demons. I'm proud of him. But I think he's the first guy in a long line. Well, he's not the first. This is the start of the buyout period. So he is the first of, I'm afraid, a bunch of guys. But the bloodletting started last week when the Minnesota Wild announced that they were not going to qualify Alex Galchenyuk or Mikko Koivu. And you're going to see a lot of that where teams say they're not going to qualify a player. That's going to happen a lot.
And Justin, I think a guy like Bobby Ryan can be a really nice complimentary piece. I mean, right away I thought of Corey Perry last summer, gets bought out, signs a deal with the Dallas Stars, and how big has he been for this team in the postseason?
Yeah, no, that's this is the exact appealing candidate, I imagine, for teams around the league. You're looking at a guy who's probably going to come in at, I don't know, a couple million dollars. I'm guessing you can get him for at this point at age 33 after some tough seasons. But it's a buy low guy who, he got himself right off the ice. He's went to rehab, and I'm sure he's feeling better mentally and physically than he has in a long time. He's been in a bad market that hasn't been competitive. If he goes somewhere that's a little bit more competitive, gets an opportunity, he's feeling good. I think you can get some good value on return for Bobby Ryan.
All right, let's bring in Craig Simpson of Hockey Night in Canada as we get closer and closer to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. Simmer, thanks so much for hopping on. How do you feel about a back-to-back in a Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 2009?
Yeah, it's a bit of an oddity and something that, you know, I think everybody was well aware that the situation would arise. I think every team has at least played one of those in the other round, so it's been part of the fabric of the of this year's Stanley Cup playoffs. So I think, like anything, you just got to take each game as an individual moment. And, you know, you can't be sitting here thinking today, if you're Dallas, oh, my God, we got to play four games in 6 nights if this thing goes to seven. Just go, got to win tonight. So, you know, the beauty of this is, there isn't the travel involved that there typically is between, you know, home games. And so you got to deal with the cards there. And what really surprised me going into last game, it was the 52nd night for the Dallas Stars and their 24th game. And I went back and looked at the start of the regular season, and lo and behold, 52 nights, they had 24 games. And, you know, half of those you had to travel for. So the overall scope hasn't been that condensed, which was a bit of a shock even to me. And so I think at this point you're just in survival mode, and back-to-back, if you're playing well, who doesn't like playing? Might as well get it going. I think both these teams would like nothing more than to get out of this bubble, and both would love to have the Stanley Cup in their arms when they do it.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's a light at the end of the bubble, but I got to ask you, I mean, you're up close to it. Does it look, does it feel like Dallas has hit a wall a tad here?
Well, I think when you just look at the lack of finding a way to get offense when you need it, you know, I think that Dallas throughout this playoffs has been able to get, you know, a special performance here or there to get them through some trying times. You go back to the Calgary series and game four, if I was Dallas and you're looking for anything, you know, the Pavelski goal with what, 12 seconds left and his hat trick, and then you get an overtime goal by Radulov. So instead of being down 3-1, you're able to tie it 2-2, and then you get a Gurionov with four goals in the final clinching game. Yeah, same thing in the Colorado series. You get Kiviranta with the hat trick in game seven. So this is the moment where you need to have some special performances from somebody. It doesn't have to be your key guy. If it is, that's a boost as well. But let's face it, when you're facing elimination, you have to dig back to how they got here. And they've been able to get here with some big games out of key guys or unsuspecting guys at the most critical times.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Burke.
Hey, Simmer, thanks for doing this.
You bet.
So what's not unusual to have two quality goaltenders facing off in the Stanley Cup Final, but these guys have both been lights out.
Yeah, they have. I think you expected it from Vasilevsky. I think it would have been more surprising if he struggled at times. I don't think you could really have expected Hudobin to be as resilient as he has throughout this stretch. So you know how players think. You know, I always found that as a player in a series, you got to know the goaltender you were going up against, and you'd have a video of what his tendencies are and how to approach him and how the net looks when you see his movements. And, you know, if I'm comparing the two, I just think the one thing that stands out about Vasilevsky, and obviously a Vezina winner and he's been a finalist the last 3 years, is just his control and his precision and his technique. And so when you're looking visually, when that pass is coming across and I'm trying to find and track his movement and look for the holes around him, you don't see nearly as much. And I was really worried about Hudobin from a standpoint. He's so aggressive. He is, you know, he's a battler. So part of being a battler is it's harder to predict the read of where you're going to be, even for my own defenseman. Sometimes he's coming flying across, and if the shot doesn't come, I go back to Palat's power play goal in game two that Kucherov looked like he was going to shoot, passed it across. I mean, Hudobin is long gone. And so that's what you give up when you're not a technique goaltender like Vasilevsky is. And when you've got skilled guys, I think you can start picking apart a player like Kudobin. The battle you got to love, and, you know, he never quits on anything. But I always felt that good players are going to find a way to put it back past you when you're that type of goaltender.
Simmer, you probably think it's crazy we've gone this long and haven't asked you about Steven Stamkos yet. I know it seems mandatory in most of these conversations. I guess I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about the addition of a star into the lineup and then kind of the subtraction of a star out of the lineup, how that affects everyone else, you know, what it feels like for those guys and how they're affected in their own individual performances.
I think the addition is just a good... Like every coach looks for, it's been a long grind. Guys are hurt. Guys are maybe a little tired. Maybe they need a little lift. Having, you know, a popular key player, a star guy, your captain into your lineup gives you that little bit of a boost, and you feel good for him. And let's face it, guys, when you're a Stanley Cup champion team, you're a family. You have a love for each other. You have a fight for each other. And you care about what's going on in everybody's life. And I think that's what shows when you have a moment like that, to see a guy working so hard to get a chance to get back in. It does lift everybody up. The fact that he was able to score on his third shift was amazing. And I said, even on the broadcast, you know, great players have that innate ability to write their own script. You know, you think back moments of... Just one an example, Mario Lemieux's return and, well, you know, the night that he was able to have there. So special guys are able to make those special moments. I think losing him isn't going to be a big dramatic negative drainer for this team. This team's gotten here through, 21 games without him. And so I think they're all prepared. They were all ready to go through without having him there. It was a great boost to have him. But I don't see it as any kind of a negative destruction if he's not. Every guy will feel bad for him and wish that he was able to be there. But I don't think there's a dramatic negative as much as there is a good positive in Game 3.
We're with Craig Simpson of Hockey Night in Canada, Nick Alberga, Brian Burke, and Justin Bourne here on Hockey Central. I have to ask about Tyler Seguin. The struggles are real. 2 goals in 23 bubble games. Again, 9 goals in 52. Has 1 assist in the last 12 games. It's no secret. He's dealing with something, and it's going to come out following this series, at least as far as I know. You know, what do you see in his game that you haven't seen in the past when he's been scoring goals left and right?
Well, I think, you know, lots of players have lived through these types of moments where you can't find a way, even if you're playing really well, you sometimes can't find a way to get a break or to get a good bounce or to just get that, maybe that one lucky goal that will ease your mind and let you go. I think, you know, the positives are he hasn't been... too bad of a moping. I don't like the slamming the door and being, you know, mad and showing that frustration every time. That's something that I would try to deal with him if I were a teammate or if I were a coach. But you've got to try to persevere. I think before last game, you know, there's the reason why there are those 3 seasons. A bad regular season can get rescued by a good playoff. But a good playoff can get rescued or can get ruined by a bad Stanley Cup final. And that's all anybody remembers at the end of the day is that last round. So I think from him, if I would change anything with him, you know, I think at times he's been on that half wall on the power play and he's had a few one-timers that have gone wide or that have been blocked or that have been high. For me, when I wasn't scoring, you know, you look at yourself and say, what am I doing? Am I on the outside? Am I not getting into the crease? Am I not giving myself a chance to get a rebound goal or a tip in or something like that? I would switch him up there and put him right in front of the net and say, part of the time you need to get into a battle with a defenseman to get your mind off of all the negative thoughts that you're having. You know, sometimes that extra battle and the puck's there, you just act instinctively. I haven't seen too many good instinctive plays by him. Even the good chance he had in the slot last game, you know, he delayed on a little bit. It wasn't a quick release and the puck never got to the net. So for me, you got to find a way here. You've got a possibility of having 4 games left in your season. and you can erase a lot of negatives if you have four big games. So, you hope it happens, and if Dallas is going to get back into this series, they're going to need a special performance from somebody, and, you know, why not if you're Tyler Seguin? You're overdue.
Go ahead, Berkey.
Well, we talked about this in the – you talked about it in the broadcast, and we talked about it during the game as well. Lack of discipline, selfish penalties. Yeah. When are they going to figure this out, Simmer?
Yeah, you know, you've seen teams, Brian, that seem to just get caught into that vortex. And, you know, even as coaches, you say, guys, we can't afford this. It's killing us. And, you know, sometimes you'll be fortunate enough to get through it and not have you cost a game. But when you suddenly now find yourself, you know, two games away from losing the Stanley Cup, that has to be first and foremost on the mind. You know, you can only go to the well and give a team that's power play was struggling for stretches of the playoffs opportunity after opportunity. And it started in game one in the third period. You gave them three straight power plays, and you come into game two and you give them three straight power plays in the first period. So it's really been a factor in the series, Brian, and it's a frustrating fact. I look at Radulov's lazy, dumb penalties at the end of the period that, you know, you survived the first period where you gave them, you know, some life. You gave another two quick goals, but you got one back, and then you take a bad penalty at the end and they score 54 seconds into the second. So I've always been a firm believer, and, you know, our teams, the two finals that I was involved on, we had a real sense as players that we were going to be machine-like. And it doesn't mean that you're not tough. It doesn't mean that you're not playing hard. It's, I'm going to just keep playing, and nobody's going to get a reaction out of me. And when the whistle goes, you get right to the dot. There's nothing more intimidating than somebody who doesn't stop coming at you no matter how much you hit them. And you can't afford to be the one that goes off and takes a selfish penalty. And, you know, Dallas has had their moments. They even said themselves, we take too many penalties. Well, you got to end that or your season's going to be over in two games.
Yeah, quick follow-up, Nick. Sorry to jump in, Nick and Morty, but quick follow-up. It was the one call, well, you can nitpick calls to death, which I hate doing.
But yeah, I know, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really easy to call a game from a studio in Toronto. But you said in the broadcast, and I agreed, that was a pretty severe penalty to Jamie Benn to take him off the ice for 12 minutes.
If I'm Jim Neal and you've been the general manager there, I would have just been irate. I mean, I was in the booth doing the game with no interest of who wins or loses, and I'm saying that just didn't warrant it at all. And you might be thinking, okay, this game might get out of hand, so you don't want a couple of tough guys. That's the captain of the Dallas Stars. And no offense to Jan Ruda, but that's a guy who's playing his second game of the playoffs. And look what happened during that time. You had two power plays in a 5-2 game that even if you get one, you guys all know how different a game is with 11 minutes to go when all of a sudden it's a two-goal game and the pressure's on. I just was beside myself going, I didn't understand. I didn't think the actions warranted the 10 minutes at all. And if you're a referee managing the most important game of the season at that point for Dallas, you're going, that penalty is so severe to them compared to the one to Tampa. Didn't make sense.
Craig, how are you handicapping the Conn Smythe race right now? Who's your front runner?
Oh, boy. You know, there's so many good performances. I just think, you know, ironically, you got another goaltender who's got an average under two, and I'm not even sure I have him as the top two guy in Vasilevsky. I think just the dominance that Victor Hedman has shown in the games that series that we've done anyways, Kucherov, you could go Kucherov, Point, Vasilevsky, Hedman to me are the obviously ones that stand out. But to me, Victor, just the pace of his game, you know, he had a tough game one. He was minus two. He's played 22 games and, you know, played such a significant role in big matchups. And he's been minus in two games all throughout this playoffs. And, get 22 games in and you've got 10 goals, 20 points, and you're plus 17 playing huge minutes, great matchups. I just think that He's the guy that settles everybody down. He's the guy that allows and drives the offense so that the point line at times can be a little more risky. I think for me, if I had a vote, it would probably be Hedman.
Yeah, it's befuddling to me a man that large can skate that swiftly. Simmer, appreciate your time here. Have a great call tonight, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Thank you. That's Craig Simpson of Hockey Night in Canada. With the break coming up, plenty of news and notes, including Jim Rutherford getting busy officially once again, Marc-Andre Fleury, and the Winnipeg Jets, a big topic of conversation on today's show. Connor Hellebuyck, yes, the Vezina winner, Connor Hellebuyck of the Winnipeg Jets, coming up in about 20 minutes from now. It's Nick Alberga, Brian Burke, and Justin Bourne. You're listening to Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, welcome back to the Friday edition of Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga, Brian Burke, and Justin Bourne with you. We're about 15 minutes away from Vezina winner Connor Hellebuyck of the Winnipeg Jets dropping by the show again. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight, Game 5 tomorrow night, so keep that in mind. But guys, as you know, the trade now official between Pittsburgh and the Florida Panthers. I calculated this, so Jim Rutherford, Berkey, took over as the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins on June 6, 2014. Did you know he's made 58 trades since he took over the job?
No, Nick, I did not know that.
Yeah, so I'm feeling you right there. Yeah, it's a good. Maybe Berkey knows everything. But I got to ask you.
I'm not. What kind of a nerd counts trades like that?
I do. Clip it. But, you know, in your past, I mean, I love Jim Rutherford for a variety of reasons. He's not afraid to go out and get what he feels will put his team over the top. What was it like dealing from a trade perspective as a GM with Jim Rutherford?
Well, I made a couple deals with Jimmy. What you do as the GM, and it's going to be a longer answer than you wanted, Nick, but what happens is there's 31 teams, soon to be 32. And so you try to talk to every GM every week to 10 days. If you're just checking in, you got nothing going. Guys in your own division, maybe a little bit less. But you quickly find out within the first 6-7 months, there's only a handful of maybe 10, maybe a third of those guys that are speaking the same language you speak, that value players the same way you do. And Jimmy was one of those guys. And plus, Jimmy and Paul Holmgren was like this. You call him and say, what are you trying to do? And Jimmy would say, well, I want to move. I need a defenseman, a left shot, and I'll move any of these six guys. So right away, you're talking terms right away. Other guys, oh, I don't know. You know, say we play next week. And this, you know. Or the guy says, I'll move. I'll give you for Ryan Getzlaff. I'll give you a fourth round pick, and you're like, come on, man, that's. So they value their players differently than you do. So, like, I'll give you an example. Darcy Regier, all the years he was the GM, we only made one trade, and we got along great. He's a wonderful human being, but he always valued his players much higher than I did. And I said to him, Darcy, we're buddies, and we can't make a deal. I'm speaking French, and you're speaking Portuguese. I said we got to get the same language. And finally, we made one deal for Dominic Moore. But that's Jimmy was a joy to deal with. Plus, this guy pushes the chips into the middle of the table, man. This guy, when he thinks he's got a chance, he goes for it.
Yeah, so we see this, Borny. Patrick Hornqvist from Mike Matheson and Colton Sevier. How would you grade Bill Zito's first move as the GM of the Florida Panthers?
I think pretty good. You know, I like what he's doing and just trying to, remake the team he wants to. And I think part of that is not being tied to people for long, long terms who you yourself didn't make that commitment. And, you like the guy he got back in the short term. And I do believe that you kind of want to be better in the here and now with the core that they have there of talent with Huberto and Barkov there up front. So, no, I like the move. I also like this whole Rutherford talk because it reminds me of like someone in fantasy hockey where you propose trades and it's just like he'll actually pull the trigger, right? This guy's like, I don't know, that maybe that'll make my team better. He's not afraid to try things, and I've got a lot of admiration for that because there's so much public scrutiny involved, but the man just isn't afraid.
Yeah, Nick. Let me jump in there, please. And people listening at home, we're all in different locations, so I can't point to Nick and say, look, I want to talk. So there's these pauses, and we jump on each other. I apologize. But the thing about Matheson, the reason I like this from Pittsburgh's point of view is, and Bill Zito, good job moving money his first deal, get back a good player, keep Hornqvist away from any beaches with his skin. Don't let him get near a beach. But the thing with Matheson is, I think one of the hardest things in professional hockey is evaluating defensemen on crappy teams. You can be a great defenseman and labor the entire time on a crappy team and be minus 30. And I used Eric Brewer as an example. We went and scouted him when he was struggling, and I said he's never going to play. And he played about 10 years in the league. It takes some defenseman time, and it's hard to evaluate them when your team stinks. So to me, I think Jimmy's saying this guy's way better than he's showing right now. And yeah. I think they'll get him back on track. I like this trade for Pittsburgh. I like it for Bill because he'd never get on track there. It wouldn't work there. And they moved a ton of dough, and they got back a character guy. For Patrick Hornquist, I would like the league to rescind the instigator penalty for one night and see or one game against Pittsburgh for each team in the league and see how many times he got pummeled.
Right? Just falling on goalies league-wide. I mean, but if he's on your team, you absolutely love the way he operates, something like Corey Perry. That all makes a lot of sense to me. It's nice when you see a deal, and it's like, at least I can make sense of that from both sides. It's a good start to kick off our trade season. Should be fun to come in the coming weeks.
Yeah, no doubt about that, because you look at Mike Matheson, he's got Jets, and I totally agree with you, Berkey, when it comes to that. I mean, a different landscape, a different setting, a better defensive team. I mean, let's not forget, Florida has not been a good defensive team for quite some time now, and you throw that speed to play with Crosby and Malkin up front, that could be scary when it comes to that. Don't forget as well, Jim Rutherford a couple years back made one of those type of deals with Florida to bring in Nick Bjugstad, and as we know, it didn't work out. Bjugstad now with Minnesota. Berkey, I want to get your thoughts too. Some more information coming out from Jesse Granger, The Athletic, yesterday regarding Marc-Andre Fleury and how he potentially wants to stay in Vegas, if you can believe it. Nothing yet on the Robin Leonard contract front, but what do you see happening when it comes to Marc-Andre Fleury right now in Vegas?
Well, I know he's really popular. I mean, he was on the inaugural roster. He's a great guy. He's good looking. He's doing those iPhone ads or whatever phones they are. He's got that great smile. He's got great hair. And he's kind of one of the faces of the franchise. I think Derek England's the other. But I think he's in a tough spot. And I think what he said yesterday with that interview was kind of like, hey, I'm okay being 1B because we're not going to see starters and backups anymore, especially with the schedule. The way it'll be constructed next year, there'll be way more back-to-backs. It'll be much harder. So you're going to get to a 1A, 1B, 50-30 split. And I know all the idiots at home will say, well, that doesn't add up to 82. I'm talking percentages. I don't think we're playing 82 games today. So next year, I think we're going to play fewer. At any rate, I think he's in a tough spot. I think his agent put him there. So he wants to stay, and I think he fits in well. But you can't have $12 million tied up at the goalie position, I don't think, long term. Montreal will have 14, but that's just for 1 year. So to me, he's a buyout candidate for me. If I'm the GM there and they want to win, and it would save them a significant amount of money, and they're talking about getting in on Pietrangelo, well, here's how you start that.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Justin.
No, that's kind of the way they've got to go. They can't lock up that much money in their crease. I think it hurts them if they do want to move off from Marc-Andre Fleury. It's just that there's so many goaltenders available. Like, no one's going to give up an asset for Marc-Andre Fleury, given the price tag he comes with and how many other guys are available at the cost of no asset, just a contract. So they're tough. I mean, maybe, as been mentioned, a buyout is an option there. But if they do like Leonard, I don't see any way they keep both those guys. That's just far too much money in the crease.
Yeah, and Berkey, you make a great point bringing up Montreal, but different perspective when it comes to cap situation. Certainly Vegas is a contender at this point. Montreal is not, but I think you look at it as a former GM in this league. I mean, is there a market, as you see right now, for Marc-Andre Fleury?
35 years old, 2 years left at $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
No. The short and long answer is no. And it's too bad because he is a quality player. He's a good guy, but he's in a tough spot. If they're going to commit to Leonard, and his agent didn't help.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a problem. Like, that tweet. I don't know if they saw this coming and they wanted to get out ahead of it and make themselves the good guy. But honestly, like, they were in the position to be the good guy, Leonard and Walsh, when he goes there and as the first guy, he's the face of the franchise, he plays great, all that. And then if they were to cut bait from him, he'd look bad. Now it feels like maybe he's been part of the problem, maybe the agent's part of the problem. I just don't think his agent did him any favors this playoff run.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And we'll see what transpires over the next couple of weeks when it comes to Marc-Andre Fleury and the Vegas Golden Knights. Word out of Edmonton, by the way, not much of a shocker here, but Steven Stamkos will not play tonight per John Cooper. Hasn't ruled him out for the rest of the Stanley Cup Final, so we'll see on that front. Again, coming up after this break, it's Vezina winner himself of the Winnipeg Jets, Connor Hellebuck. It's Nick Alberga, Brian Burke, and Justin Bourne. This is Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, moments ago, Lightning head coach John Cooper confirming no Steven Stamkos tonight for Tampa. He didn't, however, rule him out for the series. Again, we're getting set for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. It's Nick Alberga, Brian Burke, and Justin Bourne here on Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Again, it's a back-to-back. Winnipeg Jets netminder Connor Hellebuck will be joining us momentarily. And, guys, just an unbelievable season. I know a lot's been made of the voting, that situation, but I mean, they got this right, Berkey, when it comes to Connor Hellebuck. He took a lot of pucks this season.
Yeah, and this is one the writers don't vote on. This is the only award that the GMs pick. Mm-hmm. So it's and I always used to laugh at that. The one award we got to vote on was the position we know the least about. I mean, you look at how few general managers or goaltenders. It was Kenny Holland, Jim Rutherford, Garth Snow, just a few, you know. So they let us vote on the Vezina. I'm like, what? It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, I think they got it right. It's who I would have voted for. I think it might have been a different story if, based on injuries, really. A couple guys had great starts and got injured, but he was the most consistent guy. I think I did a stat, and I was looking for the stats on this. I usually keep my stuff. I talked about Connor on TV the other night after they announced the Vezina. I think they had 12 games this year where he faced 35 shots or more. So on nights when his team was poor, I think he won 7 and lost 2 in overtime. So he got points in 9 games. Like, that's impossible. So, yeah, I think this kid's great. He's not a kid. He's 6'4". I like him. I think he deserved it.
And the best thing about him, Borny, is his confidence. He just brings it every game, and he knows he's going to bring it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's a hallmark of good goaltenders, right? It's a tough position when you're back there and you can't control how the play comes to you, so you have to be confident in what you're doing, and he's demonstrated time and again that he's a guy who knows he's as good as he actually is.
So, again, we're looking to link up with Connor momentarily, but, Berkey, I got to ask you, it's a question I've been wondering when it comes to the voting process for a long, long time. Why don't we have GMs voting for GM of the Year award? Why don't we have goalies voting for the best goaltender in the league?
The GM of the Year is voted on by GMs plus four or five league officials plus four or five hockey writers to make sure there's some outside influence and it's not a pure peer group award.
Fair enough. I've always wondered. Okay. At this time, we're so happy to be joined by Winnipeg Jets goaltender, this year's Vezina winner himself, Connor Hellebuck. Connor, congratulations. You wanted this bad. There's no doubt about that. How did it feel when you got the call?
It felt really good, and it was almost one of those little monkeys off my back. So I knew I had said some bold words, and I needed to follow it up. And it goes a long way too with the team, because these awards aren't one solo efforts. This is definitely a team award. I just got the credit for it.
So Connor, take us behind the scenes, because 2020 is so weird. I mean, this wasn't live or close to live. How did you find out? Was it hard to keep it a secret? How much before we actually found out, the general public, did you know you won this award?
Yeah, I found it on the TV, and I was with my parents and Andrea, and everyone just stood up, started clapping, and got real excited, and I couldn't get a big grin off my face. It was one of those moments that just couldn't believe it actually happened.
Berkey, go ahead.
I would have liked to see that. First off, Connor, thank you for doing this for us.
You're welcome.
I can't imagine with a smile on your face. You're so bloody serious in the rink. I would have liked to see that.
Yeah, I like to separate the two. When I get to the rink, it's strictly business, and I have fun in between, but I like people to know that I'm here to win. I'm here to...
So a good night for UMass. UMass Lowell, the River Rats, Connor Hellebuck, the Vezina, and UMass Amherst, Cale Makar. How about UMass?
I guess that's the place to play for college hockey, isn't it?
Not too shabby. Connor, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your evolution as a goaltender from when you came into the league. Do you feel like you're still, you know, the same stylistic goaltender and you've just kind of gotten better over the years, or have you made changes since you've gotten to the NHL level to continue to improve?
I think my philosophy has stayed the same, but I have definitely tightened some things up and adjusted the game here and there where it needed to be.
And Connor, you know, what changed in terms of, you know, the beginning, you know, and going through this season? Like, what kind of grind are we talking here when it came to the season? The fact that, you know, not only did you play the regular season, had to wait a while to get into the playoffs, and you were great again there.
You know, I think this season was a mental grind. Physically, I felt like I could have played every single game and kept going. But mentally, there was games where I expected more out of myself and better out of myself. And then there was games where I thought I played phenomenal and we lost 4-1 or something like that. So it was more in the mental grind, trying to stay right in the middle and stay even keel and keep playing the way I wanted to play and as hard as I wanted to play. And then we got off, and that was a whole new battle that no one really knew how to handle. But I feel as did a very good job getting myself in shape and getting the rest I needed back and giving my A game for playoffs.
Go ahead, Berkey.
So Odessa Jackalopes. Not many people know where Odessa, Texas is. That's where you played your draft year. How was it playing in Odessa, Texas?
You know, I owe a lot to playing down there because I had so much fun and I met so many people that were just perfect for my game. I met an owner that cares so much about us, and then I met a goalie coach, Joe Clark, who just transformed my mental game, and I was able to kind of take the reins and run with it and play a lot. So it was a huge, huge stepping stone in my development, and I also started to get the right people around me to make things really work.
Connor, I've heard a few interviews with you since you won the award, and there seems to be the theme that this was something that you personally, you know, you strived for. This was a goal of yours that you've finally attained. Could you tell us a little bit about that, about seeking out that individual goal? Is it something you kind of always wanted to work towards, or just is it an honor for just sort of capping off a great career so far?
Yeah, you know, this is always set yourself to the top, right? And do whatever it takes to get there. I'm a firm believer in believing in yourself and trying to be the best. Because even if you don't reach the best, I bet you reach your best potential. So,
with Vezina winner Winnipeg Jet himself, Connor Hellebuck, it's Nick Alberga, Brian Burke, and Justin Bourne here on Hockey Central. Now, being in the bubble, you guys weren't there for a while, but you played well at points and times, and ultimately injuries cost you guys big time. But what was it like from a goalie's perspective, you know, in terms of trying to strategize and get ready for each game?
You know, I feel every goalie is different. I like to have a little bit of fun before games, but then I also have to turn it on when I need it. So I have a nice switch, and I'm constantly kind of flipping it up and down and when to have a little fun, play a little soccer, and when to dial it in. And I like to work on everything. I like to work on my hands and then my mental game, and then warm-ups just is the hockey game, correct. And when things are just getting to a good rhythm and you don't really have to think about what you're doing, you're just doing it, that's when things get really fun.
Berkey?
Two things, Connor. First off, Paul Maurice, I think, has done a marvelous job as an NHL coach, and he's a great guy. And I think you're fortunate to play for him. But also, the playoffs this year, the injuries were just too much, it seemed.
Yeah, you know, it's always tough when you lose your big guns and those guys that eat up a lot of minutes, and I don't want to blame it on that. They definitely would have been a difference maker for sure, but I feel like we had the team and we had the grind all year long to than the outcome that we got. And I'm not saying that no one played their hardest. I'm just saying I feel like we deserved a better outcome than what we got.
Connor, by the much hated advanced statistics community in the public, your team was supposed to get filled in terms of giving up goals. Like, the expected goals for the Winnipeg Jets were as high as almost any team in the league. So the question to you then becomes, would you rather play behind a super stingy team that doesn't give up much shots, or do you feel it's better for your personal game to be as engaged and as challenged as you were over the course of this season?
Whatever gets me further in playoffs.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's fun turning away a lot of shots, but it also puts a lot of pressure on you, especially when a game doesn't go your way. The media covers you pretty hard and pretty tight in this game, so sometimes it's nice to be able to hide behind a low expected goals rate team. But, you know, like I said, I thought we all were pretty clear on what we expected of each other. That's why we got the outcome that we got this year.
Conversing with Connor Hellebuyck. So are you the type of guy that once you're out, you stop watching, or have you been watching still?
I watch here and there, and I definitely watch highlights. It's been a fun playoffs to watch, and the finals has been crazy. You got two goalies that are both really good and just battling back and forth.
No doubt about that. Burke, you got a last one?
Yeah, just hard to watch all the defensemen walk away last year. As a goaltender last summer, the goaltender, you must have been going, holy cow.
Yeah, but you know what? Every time I watch, I just wish I was there. So it's almost tough to watch in that standpoint, because I just keep thinking that we should be there and how badly I want it.
Borny, got one more?
Last question before I let you go is just, how important is having a good goalie partner? I know it's got to be, it's a challenge sometimes. There's a competition, but I know you guys are also sort of your own little unit there on any team.
Well, it's important that you get along with them too. And me and Brossoit have such a good relationship, and we push each other on the ice. And then when we're off the ice, we're able to stick together, because sometimes being a goalie is on an island. No one really understands what we go through and what we're thinking. So being able to have someone there to back you up all the time, and not only on the ice but off the ice, is just great to be able to bounce ideas, and it's so important for the mental game as well.
Well, Connor, once again, congratulations. You were outstanding this season. Really, really appreciate your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anytime. That's Connor Hellebuyck of the Winnipeg Jets, wins the Vezina Trophy this season as the league's best netminder, and he was incredible, guys. But, Berkey, you're so right in bringing up that question about the back end. Like, you're a goalie, and you see guy after guy leave, and then Byfuglien, you don't know what's going to happen there. He's hurt. He really, really stepped up, and I would say he's probably the prime reason, the biggest reason Winnipeg makes the playoffs to begin with.
Yes, I thought he was outstanding, and he's a good interview, but you have to make a longer list of questions. He gives very concise answers.
I know.
usually we have a guest on, and between you and Borny and me, I only need four questions. Well, I just asked him six or seven. He deserved it. Darcy Kuemper had a great first half and then got hurt. But the best goalie from start to finish was Connor Hellebuyck. Had I had a vote, and obviously we don't vote on this one, I had a vote, I would have voted for Connor Hellebuyck. And I will tell you, from working in Calgary, we did not like him. We did not like the fact that he was in the other net. And when a goalie makes you nervous in your game planning, and you say, oh, we got Hellebuyck, that's the ultimate compliment.
Yeah. It was just a tremendous story. There's no doubt about that. So, again, many thanks to the Jets and Connor Hellebuyck for hopping on here. And staying on that theme, Borny, I got to ask the question. You got like 4 or 5 minutes left. Do you think this is legitimate that Patrick Laine is on the trade market? I can't see Winnipeg trading him unless it's the moon they're getting.
Well, this is a weird year, right? Like, things are different this year. In a normal season, I'd say no. They'll definitely be trying to get the most out of a guy like that they can. But, I think there's some frustration there with Winnipeg that, he hasn't quite blossomed into a Rocket Richard guy, which I thought he was going to be. I think they're a team that's loaded at wing. And anytime you're a team that's stacked at any one position, you tend to say, okay, well, we've got holes somewhere else. Can we move off of that position and kind of patch a hole somewhere else? So I can see why the name is out there. And it's a tough year to get anything back in a trade. That's certainly a name that would get you something back.
Berkey, how frisky would you to if you're a GM, to go after Patrick Laine?
Well, I was talking about this morning. I really believe that he made tremendous strides as a player last year.
Yeah.
I said 2 years ago in the playoffs when he wasn't scoring, he was a liability. He didn't forecheck. He didn't backcheck. He didn't use the sides. He didn't make plays. He did all of that this year. That's why I'm puzzled, and that's why my theory is that they talked extension with him and he wants something that they'll never do if he's out there at all. Chevy's a smart guy. He's not just going to peddle this guy. He's going to find out what it will cost to keep him. But I think the two players, I think, star players that made the biggest commitment to a three-zone game in the last year were Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews. And they marked improvement in every defensive aspect of the game, both guys. And I think Laine is a much better player. Maybe his goal totals have been sacrificed, but he's a much better player right now. And I think he can still get you maybe down the road. He can still be that 50-goal guy, 40-goal guy. But he's a three-zone player now. Like, I think he's made rapid and decided improvement.
Yeah. That's a scary thought if you're a Jets fan, that you've been there during the years where he, you know, sort of worked to make that improvement, then suddenly he's there and you're going to lose him. This, by the way, brings you back to the Toronto conversation around guys like Willie Nylander, where you've put in the years of trying to get them to somewhere where they're at now, and then, you know, trade talks come up. It's like, now is the time to hang on to the guy. Now is when you're about to reap your reward, so hopefully they find a way to keep him around.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just don't think it would make sense unless they're getting that top six center and then some, a defenseman, maybe two of them going back the other way. I just don't see it. Got about a minute left, guys. Just your quick thoughts, Berkey. We can start with you. Game four of the Stanley Cup Final tonight.
Stay out of the box, Dallas, or if you're going to take penalties, make them be aggressive ones. Hedobin's got to bounce back with a little better game, and I want a series. I want Dallas to win this game. I want it to keep rolling.
Borny?
Yeah, I think they can make it a series. If Tyler Seguin gets on the score sheet, finds a way to contribute some offense, you can only count on Kibiranta and Gurianov and those guys for so long. Kibiranta.
I love it. Boys, this has been an absolute blast. Have a great weekend. Enjoy tonight's game, okay?
All right, thanks, you too. Thanks, Nick.
See you guys.
There you have it. I'd like to thank Craig Simpson and Connor Hellebuck for hopping on the show. It was a lot of fun. Many thanks to Matt Marchese, Lance Kennedy, and Dylan Brown. For Brian Burke and Justin Bourne, I'm Nick Alberga. Don't forget, our coverage on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific tonight for Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. And don't forget, the first back-to-back in the Cup Final since 2009. It's going to be a great weekend. Thanks so much for listening.